come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
I just returned from Colorado, and we did a retreat there, a ladies' retreat. Shannon led worship, and I did the teaching, and it was a really great time. And there was something in my teaching that the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me that I'm supposed to share it with you. It's just a small portion of it as a part of our introduction. So the thing that we need to remember, Psalm 46:1, is God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble, Psalm 46:1. What I want to talk to you about is Sukkot. Sukkot is the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, we build most of our homes to keep the elements out, right? To keep the bad weather out, to protect ourselves. Well, that's what most homes are supposed to be built for, but not the dwellings that were built for Sukkot. During the Jewish holiday, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, they lived in dwellings made of leaves and branches. Dwellings made of leaves and branches. One requirement is that the stars must be visible from the roof. The stars must be visible from the roof. And so this is simply you're laying down and you're looking up and you can see the stars. You will look at that and you'll say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's one of the things. But obviously this dwelling gives little protection from the weather, and that's the point. Living in this vulnerable shelter reminded the Jews of their dependency on God. During the days of the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 28, the people bragged about a very different kind of dwelling place. They had made lies their refuge and falsehood their hiding place. It says in verse 15 of Isaiah 28, they had made lies their dwelling place and falsehood their hiding place, had made lies their refuge. Because the Israelites' dependence on ungodly things, the Lord said to them through that prophet Isaiah, hail will sweep away the refuge of lies and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Sukkot calls us to examine our lives to make sure that our security rests not on lies, but on God's truth. When we make truth our refuge, no storm can threaten us. When we make God our refuge, no storm can threaten us. We can depend on God to sustain us. And with all that we're going to be going through in this Bible study, let's remember that God is our safe dwelling place in life's storms. Because, ladies, the storms are coming. And let me say this, and I think you probably have heard Bill say this. You are either in a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. You find that's true in life? Yes. Okay, so we want to just keep that in mind as we go through there. So, Lord, thank you so much for the book of Mark. We're going to introduce him to these ladies now. And with your help, my mouth will work. And only say the things that you want me to say, Lord. So, the man that God chose to write about the Lord Jesus Christ is the one in what we will call his active service among men. Was a man named John, whose surname was Mark. He wrote about Jesus's active service among men. His mother's name was Mary, the same Mary who opened her house for prayer when Peter was in prison. We have that in Acts 12:12. Mark was not an apostle, but was a close friend of the apostle. He was around them. His name is in many places in the letters written by Luke and Paul in Acts, and in Colossians 4:10, in 2 Timothy 4:11, and Philemon 24. Mark was a servant of the apostles and a servant of Christ. So Peter apparently went to his house often because the servant girl, you remember in Acts 12, the servant girl recognized his voice. So apparently he was there a lot. Barnabas was Mark's cousin. In Colossians 4:10, we read that. But Peter may have been the one who led Mark to Christ. Peter called him in 1 Peter 5:13, my son. Mark, my son. And so we are led to believe that he was the one who actually led Mark to the Lord. It was this close association with Peter that gave an apostolic authorization to Mark's gospel. Much of the information was from Peter. Much of the things that Mark wrote were from Peter, although it is believed that Mark is referring to himself in his account of a certain young man in Gethsemane. A certain young man in Gethsemane. We'll get to that when we get to chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. Since all of the disciples had abandoned Jesus in the garden, this little incident may have been a firsthand account of him failing in his service. That was when the young man was amongst the things and went running out and left the towel that he had wrapped around him behind. So you'll get to that. But there is another account of that incident is found in Acts 15:38. But we also have proof in 2 Timothy 4:11 of his faithfulness from that point on. Once you have been with Jesus, once you have known him, once you have walked with him, and you fail, and you repent, you don't want to leave again. That's what Mark was. This is the one who was chosen by God to speak about the tireless, the faithful service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark gives us a picture of Jesus as the faithful servant of God, the faithful sacrifice of God, the faithful Savior from God. And so it is really the gospel of the works of Christ. The gospel of the works of Christ. That's recorded actually in Acts 10:38. The works of Christ. Because it was written to the Romans, whose number one interest was power, it shows us the matchless power of the mighty miracle worker. So there are lots of miracles in this book, and the power of his love in the greatest of all miracles in his death and his resurrection. This is the reason why Mark speaks more about the miracles of our Lord Jesus than he does about the parables. There are not much about the parables, in fact, nothing about the parables in this book. Mark wrote his gospel in the Greek language, and he used a Greek word that is translated by three different English words. That Greek word, so that you know that I actually looked it up, is, I don't know how to pronounce it. So it's E-U-T-H-U-S, and it's translated immediately, forthwith, or straightway. And these are all references that are used as particularly applied to a servant. And immediately this happened, and immediately he went to, and immediately, or forthwith, or straightway. And so we know that Jesus is being described as the servant here. It is found, this Greek word is found 80 times in the New Testament, and 40 of those are here in Mark. So our key verse for this book is Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So our study is entitled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior, because that's who Jesus is. servant, sacrifice, and savior. Mark is an account of all three of these titles for Jesus. Now, surprisingly, Mark skips all of the genealogy. So he skips through the birth genealogy, skips through the childhood altogether, and he begins instead with John the Baptist. Why? Because it's John the Baptist preaching in the desert. That's a logical place to start because John the Baptist fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of the messenger who is to prepare the people for the Messiah. So that's where it's starting, at the place where Jesus' ministry started. So Jesus arrives, he's baptized by John, then he goes into the desert, he overcomes temptations that Satan put on him. Immediately afterward, Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Galilee is in northern Israel, by choosing four fishermen as the first of the 12 disciples. Then comes the flurry of miracles. This is what's happening as we walk through Mark. A flurry of miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick, followed by the calling of the remaining disciples. So that's the direction that it goes in. Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing continues with great results. I found myself this morning thinking, God, how come this... we can't deliver this girl, the Danielle that I told you about. Why can't we? And the Lord's reminding me, you know, some of them come out by prayer and fasting. So we need to keep that in mind. So that happened during this time. Crowds captivated by his new insights into ancient scripture and astonished by his miracles followed him by the thousands. But among those followers were skeptics. And some of those skeptics were scholars, and some of them were religious leaders who didn't agree with his non-traditional way of looking at scripture. They didn't go along with it, and they would try again and again to humiliate him with their trick questions that they thought that were so good, and they walked away being the ones who were humiliated by Jesus's answer. So, by the third chapter, Mark reveals that these leaders intend to kill Jesus. That's their intention. Jesus heads south, taking his ministry to Jerusalem. He knows that the end is near, but his disciples can't imagine a suffering Messiah. They can't even imagine that. Everything they've heard about of the promised Messiah is that he will reign in glory as a king with the stature of David. And the truth is, he will reign in glory with the stature above David. But that's not what they were looking for at that particular time. And so Jesus enters Jerusalem on a Sunday amid cheering crowds. You know the story. He comes in with, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God. Oh, let's lay things down. Let's treat you like a king. And amid those crowds, that royal welcome, 5 days later, by 9 a.m., he's nailed to a cross. By about 3 p.m., he is dead. But come Sunday, the place that we were, Starlin and I were at, no, not Starlin, it was Shannon, actually. There was a lot of that, hallelujah. To things that were said or when we were singing. It was really cool. So this reminds me of it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. Oh, man, his tomb is empty, and an angel dressed in white is declaring that Jesus is alive, and he is preparing to go to his devastated disciples. What were we following? Who were we following? He's dead. We trusted. He's dead. And you know the story. He shows himself. He did teach more on what Jesus did than what he taught. It's a quick-moving account. It's like me being on coffee. You know, it's like going through from this to that to the other scene, from one scene to the, and then immediately this happened, and then immediately that happened, and immediately they went there. This conveys the message or the image that we need to see of Jesus perpetually busy. He was always about the things of his Father. And we, you say, well, you know, no, because I know he had some time where he went off by himself. Oh, he had some time where he was, praying. You think that's not busy? Do you think that that's not having anything to do with his work? What he was sent here to do? Getting that conversation with his Father? Yes. So we understand why his body at the time of his death was so tired, and then had the beatings on top of that and so forth. We understand why the disciples, when he said, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour and pray? Their bodies, their physical bodies were worn, but God took care of them. And as I said, there are 16 chapters in this short, I call it a short long book, because it is a short book, but the chapters are long. They include so much. And at the last six chapters are devoted to the final week of Jesus' life, his suffering and his crucifixion. So this book begins with John the Baptist. It ends with Christ's ascension. And so that's why we named it Jesus, Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. And I am excited over what God's going to do in this study as we get into it. Now, we're going to break into our small groups. Lord, thank you for this study. Thank you, Lord, that you have put this together. Thank you that you know what's going on here, Lord. And we pray your blessing as we continue through this Bible study, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up. Stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.